God has taken us for a ride, taken us where He wants us to go, in the Word and in the Spirit. Beginning in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. God has a plan for your life. Do you trust that His plan is the right plan? God has a call on you. He has a plan for this whole world. Do you believe that God knows what He's doing? Do you trust that God's purposes and what He's doing are just and right? Do you? Well, don't be like Saul and think you're smarter than God. Can I get an amen? How many of you here think you're smarter than God? How many of you think you're smarter than God? Anybody? Then don't act like it. If you don't think you're smarter than God, then quit acting like it. And when Samuel arose, verse 12, early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on, going down to Gilgal. He's just busy doing his thing. And Samuel came to Saul. You can run, you can hide, but the man God's going to find you out. And he said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, well then, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and its evil in the sight of the Lord? It's a sad day when God has pulled us up from the muck and the mire and the mess that we have made of our lives and the sins that we have committed and the rebelliousness of our hearts, where God has formulated a plan based and founded on the prayers of somebody that cared about you and on the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary and on that blood that was applied on the altar in heaven and pulled you out of sin and out of darkness and placed you in His bosom and in His care and protection, put His Spirit inside of you, called you by His name, adopted you into His family, then for you to begin to think that you know better than God what it needs to be done and what needs to happen in His church and in His kingdom and in your life and in this world. When did we get as smart as God? I'm here to tell you something today, right now. None of what I'm saying right now is in my notes. Nothing that I've said to you so far is written or typed in these pages. But the Spirit of the living God is speaking. I'm not angry at anybody. I'm not upset. But I feel the anointing of the Word of God here today. Under the authority of the Word and the Spirit and the gift of prophecy that rests on me. I speak to you right now. divide and the socioeconomic lines in our community, where God is going to set businesses and businessmen on fire, and government officials and politicians and educators and teachers, and He's going to take law enforcement agencies, medical professionals, and God is going to take them the highest of society and of the lowest cutters, and raise Him up a church to give glory unto His name in these last days. And He's calling us to be a part of what He is doing, and it's time to stop hindering the work of God. It's time to stop doing what you think is best to do, and it's time to start obeying willingly, humbly, carrying out the plan and the work and the will of God and His commands in this hour. And Saul said in verse 20, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent thee in, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Well, we done this and we done that. And it's their fault they did this and they did that." Samuel said, "I told you under the commandment of God what to do." And he went on and he said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better." Everybody say better. "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken," everybody say listen, "and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king." Don't think that just because God put a call on your life, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God will move you aside and set you aside and put somebody else in your place that's more worthy to carry on the work of the kingdom. But God loves you. He doesn't want to lose you. He doesn't want you to be lost. And He'll do whatever He can to keep you saved and to keep you preserved unto the end. But my friend, the kingdom of God is not going to slow down. It's not going to divert because you have a few little idiosyncrasies, because you have a few little issues or you stubbed your toe. God is going to build His kingdom whether you believe in it or not. God is going to perform what He wants to in the earth whether we want to follow Him or not. God has a plan and He's working that plan. Lord Jesus, we're thankful today for the powerful presence of Your Spirit and the anointing of Your Word that rests upon us today, God. We have rested this week. We have waited upon You this week. We have been calm and cool and collected, O Lord Jesus. There's no contentions. There's no striving. There's no stress. But there is a Word, O God, in the church today. And let it go forth, O God, and have free course, I pray. In the hearts, that the ears hear, O God. That the eyes see and the heart proceed this morning before we leave this place. How, O God, that You would appoint by this word to our lives and to our ministry and callings. The title of our message today is The Heart of Sacrifice. Before I say anything else, I just let me say that sacrifice is a means to an end. But it is never an end in itself. 2011, James Jimmer Fredette was selected in the NBA draft by the Sacramento Kings. It was a moment that capped off a breakout season for Jimmer. In his senior year, Fredette captured national attention with his dazzling three-point shooting and led the Brigham Young Cougars to a record-breaking number of wins and the school's first trip to the Sweet 16 in 30 years. The moment also represented the fulfillment of a contract that his older brother had drawn up and Jimmer had signed 5 years earlier. It said, "I, James T. Fredette, agree on this day, January 27, 2007, to do the work and make the necessary sacrifices to be able to reach my ultimate goal of playing in the NBA, signed by James and by his brother Timothy, his witness." And Jimmer hung his contract in his room and looked at it every single day. It reminded me of what my goal was, he said. And if I didn't want to work hard or practice that day, I would look at that and think, you have to work as hard as you possibly can and do things other kids aren't doing in order to be the best and reach your goal. The other kids weren't doing the drills like the gauntlet. It was Jimmer would dribble down that pitch dark hallway at church as his friends jumped out of classrooms in an attempt to throw him off of his game. He also played pickup games at the local prison, where he learned not to be intimidated by trash talk and extremely tough play. And when college recruiters didn't come around, having deemed him too white and slow to be a viable prospect, he just kept on practicing and honing his game at one of the few schools to offer him a scholarship, BYU. In the summer after his junior year, he attended pre-draft camps with NBA teams in order to find the weak spots in his game that needed improvement. And the work paid off when he got to don the King's cap and hoist an NBA jersey on June 23rd, 2011. He had made the necessary sacrifices to reach his goal. Sacrifice is always a means to an end. If he had not kept his grades up in school, Fredette would have never made it into the NBA. If he hadn't concerned himself and protected himself from the vagaries of drug abuse and other partying lifestyles that his other friends at college and that he grew up with were doing, he would have never made it into the NBA. If he hadn't disciplined himself in relationships and kept himself out of trouble and harm's way, in addition to all of his practicing, he would have never made it to his goal. There are going to be sacrifices in this life to accomplish and achieve and reach the goals that God has placed before us. It's going to come at a cost. It's going to be painful sometimes. There are going to be days when you don't want to do what you know you need to do. But if you have a goal and you have a vision that God has placed, I can imagine that there were days when Noah did not want to get up and cut any more trees. I would imagine that after some decades and the splinters, no doubt his hands could have cut your skin open, being so brutally callous from decades of handling wood and saws and twisting it with heat, the great boards that would make the giant ship that would be a model for sailing ships even still today, thousands of years later. I can imagine there were times when he was tired of telling people that God is going to destroy the earth with a flood and you better change your ways. I can imagine there were times when he just wanted to give up and stop. But every day he got up because he had a call. He had a purpose. He had a vision. He had a word from God. And he wouldn't let anybody or anything or any weakness or any weariness or any persecution stop him from achieving the goal of preparing an ark unto the Lord.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
It's not always going to be easy getting up early for prayer, Brother Patrick. You're not always going to want to climb out of that bed and call on the name of Jesus. It's not always going to be easy to pop open your Bible and sit there and sit still long enough to read through your daily assignments. You're not always going to be in the mood to come to prayer meetings or church or feel like worshiping God or doing whatever it is that God has called you to discipline and consecrate. consecrate yourself in relationship to Him. But buddy, baby, you better have a call. You better have a vision. You better have an understanding that this life is just a dressing room. That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us when the Lord Jesus appears the second time and calls His people to His side. I don't know about you. There are days when I don't want to pastor. There are some days when I don't want to preach. There are Fridays and Saturdays when I don't want to study. There are phone calls that I don't want to take. There are prayers that I don't want to pray. But I'm laboring under a purpose. I'm laboring under the auspices of a dream and a vision. And we're going to be in the glory and the joys of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's going to be heaven worth every trial, every prayer, every tribulation, every sermon, every song, every service, every testimony, every tract. Everything that we have ever done is going to come to a place where God pours out His reward on us. I don't know about you, but that's what I've got to keep my eyes on. You got to keep your eye on the purpose. Because a sacrifice without a purpose is pointless. A sacrifice without a purpose is unnecessary. A sacrifice without a purpose is obnoxious. A sacrifice without a purpose is damning. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 of the NSB, he says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen. Everybody say listen. Draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. And the Bible says that Jesus had a purpose when He went to Calvary. It says, I believe it might be in the book of Hebrews, where it says that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame. He didn't enjoy going to the cross of Calvary. There wasn't any enjoyment in hanging on that tree. When they stuck that crown of thorns in His head, He didn't laugh and say, "Ooh, that tickles, do it again." When the devil attacked Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, it wasn't pleasant as He wrestled in His flesh. Oh, as He wrestled in His spirit against the will of humanity to do the will of God. It wasn't enjoyable when they tied Him up to a tree and they whipped Him. Amen. With a cat of nine tails. They say leather whips with lead pieces, and pieces of glass or whatever they had sharp, wrapped up and knotted up in the ends, and they turned His back into a bloody meat pulp. It wasn't enjoyable to Jesus when they mocked Him and walked underneath Him and spit on Him, and when they stripped Him of His clothes and hung Him there naked. He didn't enjoy those things, but He went through it, and He's made the sacrifice because He knew there was a purpose in the plan of God. He trusted His Father, and He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." And He went to Calvary, and He opened up a new, as Brother Batchelor preached this year, a new and a living way, and He paved the pathway for the redemption of humanity from the curse of Adam. Oh, there's got to be a purpose in the sacrifice. Because when the sacrifice becomes an end in and of itself, then we quickly stray from the right path and miss the goals God has placed in our lives. Well, I hope God sees my sacrifice. Well, I hope you're aware of God's plan and His purposes. 2 Kings chapter 5.
verses 9 through 17. There's an Aramean general, a war hero, was stricken with leprosy, a dreaded skin disease that caused the eating away of the flesh and the nerves. He had to live separate from his wife, his family, his children, so that they would not catch this contagious disease. And a servant in the house said, "There is a man of God in Israel at Samaria. There is a man of God in Israel at Samaria. And if you'll go find him, he will heal you." Don't you love the faith of a child? Don't you love the faith? Here's this girl, she's a slave, being captured and carried away by the Arameans because her parents and her grandparents were worshiping idols and disobeying God. Isn't it wonderful, the faith of a child? Even a child knows who's real and who's fake when it comes to spiritual things. Go over here and find him. And he came to the house of the prophet Elisha. And the prophet Elisha did not come out to him, refused to talk to him or speak to him. But he sent his servant Gehazi, and he said, "Go out there and tell him, get down to the Jordan River and dip yourself, baptize yourself 7 times, and you will be made whole." The Bible says that the general, the war hero, Naaman, was upset and he was angry. And he said, "Are there not better rivers where I from our home country? Are there not more clear and crystal waters? Jordan is not exactly a mountain spring, Sister Clemens, and it's a muddy, nasty looking little thing. Not very impressive, kind of like a little Wabash River. Might be some fish in there, but I don't know if you go in it, you're going to get any cleaner than you were when you come out."
Amen.
I thought he would have come out and struck his hand over the place and healed it. I thought he would have shown me some respect and come out and heal me himself. And he was went away in a rage. Who is this prophet? And he was probably thinking to himself, "I think I'll tear his house down and I'll slaughter him and burn his body on the timbers that I break from his house." No telling, he was so enraged, and his servants calmed him down. And they said this. They said, "Naaman," they said, "General, if he had asked you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? If he had asked you to do some great feat of heroism, some great feat of strength or courage, would you not have done it?" Sometimes we get so addicted to the sensational and the supernatural. Sometimes we get so addicted to the gaudy and to the reputable, to be seen and to be heard, that we are unable to understand the simplicity of the power that there is in the purposes and the principles and of listening and obeying the commandments of God. And his servant said, "If he had asked you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more something so simple for you to go into the river and baptize yourself 7 times? And they talked the man into sense. Oh God, that somebody would talk us into sense. That God isn't always calling us to climb a green mountain. That God isn't always calling us to do great feats of heroism and courage. Sometimes God is just calling us to be obedient to the simple and small things that he has put in his kingdom for us to do."
Amen.
And he went and baptized himself. The preacher wouldn't even baptize him. Well, that throws some blasphemy and heresy in the church, wouldn't it? Baptized himself 7 times, came up out of the water, and his skin was brand new. Sacrifice without purpose is unnecessary. It's pointless. It's obnoxious. And sacrifice that countermands the purposes and commands of God is damning to our souls. King Saul had, this is not King Saul's first time to deviate from God's commandments. This is not King Saul's first time to show his colors. He didn't have any problem with killing. He didn't have any problem with slaughtering. His first great victory that he wrought, he took a cow and cut it up into tiny pieces, hacked it up himself, and sent the bloody pieces all over Israel, and said, anybody who doesn't come out to the battle with me, that I'm going to come to your house and hack up every animal that you have, and this is what it's going to look like when I'm done with it. He was no stranger to great battles and great fights, but oftentimes he lost his focus on the purpose and made sacrifices that were unnecessary and pointless. And before they were fighting the Philistines, and Saul said, anybody that eats food today will be damned and will be killed. And nobody will touch food until I have been avenged upon my adversaries, the Philistines. But his son Jonathan wasn't there, because instead of making unnecessary sacrifices and foolish oaths, he was out fighting the Philistines. And the Philistines were turned back. They were thwarted. They were smitten before Jonathan and his armor. Two guys turning the whole army into a tumble. And so Saul goes and they join the battle. All these things. And the Bible says they came into a forest, and there was honey dripping from the trees. And Jonathan reached up with his staff, and he gouged some honey up on the end of his staff, and he licked it. Oh, and the Bible says his eyes were enlightened. And the other people said, hey, you shouldn't have done that. Saul said, anybody that eats anything before he's been avenged on his adversaries is going to die. And Jonathan, you're going to die, because Saul made a dumb, stupid, idiotic, sacrificial oath before the Lord. And then at the end of the battle, it was all over. The Bible says that the people flew upon the spoil. They were so hungry that they started slaughtering the animals and eating them before they were cooked, before the blood had drained out of them. And Saul had to roll a great rock out there for the people to kill on. He was already showing his misunderstanding of what God is doing, his misunderstanding of the purposes and principles behind the killing and the wars and the things that God was calling him to do. We need to know what the purpose is. Jesus doesn't say, go walk 2 miles with somebody. He said, if they ask you to walk a mile, walk 2. Jesus doesn't say, strip off your clothes and give it to the first person you see. He said, if somebody asks you for your cloak, give them your coat also. I'm not trying to complicate theology here today, but we need to understand the purpose behind our sacrifice before we dive in with both feet. We need to understand the principle of that God is building a kingdom. He has a plan in the work that he's doing. And if God tells you something today, 2 years from now, he hasn't changed his mind or his purposes behind what he gave you to do, or what he told you to do, or what he empowered you to do, but he still intends for it to be carried through, and if not by you, then somebody else. If we want to be helpful to God, if we want to be helpful to our family and friends, our love language, according to Gary Chapman, is gifts of sacrifice. I love to do things for people. How many of you love to do things for people? But in my zeal, as the Bible says, Paul says about the Jews, they have a zeal, but they don't have a zeal for the Lord. They go about to establish their own righteousness. And I found out pretty early in my walk with the Lord that not everything that I thought needed to be done, needed to be done. Not every person that I thought needed to be helped, needed to be helped. Not every time that I saw a need was it meant for me to fill it. Not every time that I saw an opportunity to make a sacrificial gift to someone was it the right thing to do at that time. We have to learn the purpose behind, and we have to understand the heart of the sacrifice before it becomes effective and before it meets the need and accomplishes the will of God. God is more concerned with our obedience to His commands than He is with our offerings and sacrifices. God is more concerned that we listen to His voice and do what He says than He is about anything else that happens in our lives. Saul starts making excuses. Oh, I saved some great cattle. There's some great sheep over here. I hate to just cut them up like that. I thought we'd bring them in and make a sacrifice before the Lord. How many of you have ever had somebody try to help you and you thought to yourself, my God, I hope I can talk them out of helping me, because I know for certainty that if they help me, I'm going to have more of a mess to clean up than I would be if I just do it myself. Thank God for their zeal. Thank God for their good-heartedness and their desire to be helpful. Thank God for that. But sometimes you can do more damage than you can do good. And sometimes we can be found to fight against God as opposed to helping and building the kingdom, which is what we're supposed to be doing. We can get our heart in the wrong place, and a heartless sacrifice will not be accepted by God and will set us backwards in our relationship with Him. Has the Lord. The prophet Samuel said, and also priests said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. The prophet Micah said, does the Lord take the light of thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God doesn't want those things from you. Did the Jews really think God needed their blood sacrifices? He has told you, says in Micah 6:8, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. It's pointless to be faithful to church and pay your tithes and cuss your wife out when you get home. It's pointless to pray and sacrifice and come to prayer meetings and fast and pray and to cheat your workers out of their wages and to be disrespectful to your boss. It's pointless for us. It says in James, how can bitter and sweet waters come forth from the same well? How can the same tree bring forth thorns and yet fruit to eat at the same time? These things ought not to be. Oh, there needs to be an understanding. God wants our heart. God wants our obedience. God wants justice and mercy and kindness, and for us to walk humbly with Him. And then bring your sacrifice. And then bring your sacrifice to Him. Hosea, the prophet, says the same thing. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And Proverbs says the same thing. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just than when we offer Him sacrifices. Oh, somebody hear what this preacher is saying to you today. What Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 13:4, you shall follow the Lord your God and fear Him, and you shall keep His commandments, listen to His voice, serve Him, and cling to Him. In Luke chapter 8, verse 21, they said to Jesus, who was in the house, teaching and preaching and working the miracles that His Father sent Him to work. And they said, your brethren and your mother is outside. And Jesus replied, my mother and my brothers are all those who hear God's word and obey it. The heart of sacrifice is obedience and listening to the commandments and the voice of God. Because there is a purpose in the sacrifice. The sacrifice is a means to an end for God to build His kingdom in our lives and through us in the world.
Hallelujah. What happened to Saul? The Bible says God rejected him from being king because he placed his own ideas above the commandment of the Lord. And he was rejected, and the kingdom was torn from him and given to another man. He lost the blessing of God. My friends, because the blessing of God rests on those who are attentive and obedient. The blessing of God rests on those who are attentive and obedient. You see, a man who is right in his own eyes, Solomon said, there is more hope of a fool than him. Let's stand together. It's not my goal. It's not your goal. It's God's goal. Saul the king lost sight. God chose Abraham. God called Abraham. That God made Abraham a great nation. That God worked miracles and blessed and revealed himself and sat down and had meals with those that he called, gave dreams and visions and wrestled with them and spoke to them and changed their names, changed their destinies. God did that to cause his name to be great in the earth by choosing himself a people who were rejected and nothing. And he sent Israel into Canaan to drive out the idolaters, to drive out the pagans, and to establish the kingdom and the covenant and the truths of the Creator. Chose them to be that nation. They rejected their king and chose their own king. And their own king rejected God as well and did things how he saw fit. And he lost the blessings of God upon his life. And when you read through the stories, you'll find that the kings, not only did they lose the blessings of God, but God's blessings were lifted off of the whole nation of Israel because of these decisions of these men. Why did God put the punishment of a bad king upon the people? Simple, because the people were the ones that decided they wanted a king instead of God. It wasn't God's decision. It wasn't God's choice. It was theirs. And they're in that predicament even still today because they chose to be there. They chose to let the purpose of sacrifice and the purpose of the kingdom of God to be rejected and cast away from them. God wants us to have a better life. It has always been his design. God wants us to be better people. God wants us to have a better family. God wants us to have better careers and success and greatness. God wants us to be a better church and a better community. God wants to make this a better country and a better world. And he's in the process of doing it right now. And no matter what happens and how the devil rages in this earth and how many are deceived by his lies and follow his paths, God is establishing in the spiritual realm and behind the scenes. God is building. God is establishing. His plan is still moving forward. And even as the devil and all of those that follow him rush headlong into their destruction, those that are obedient, those
those that are listening to the voice of God are growing stronger and more powerful. And even though the outward man, the outward world that we live in is perishing, the inner man, the spiritual kingdom is growing stronger day by day, greater and greater and greater. God's blessings rest on those who are attentive and obedient. It is the heart of what we do. Romans chapter 2, verse 13 in the New Living Translation. Will you forgive me today if you feel like I have been too bold and too plain and straightforward? I know we have mixed company and children here today. Brother Philip, this is the way Pentecostal preachers used to preach.
Amen.
Except that I didn't get down on the pew and get right in your face. If I was Brother Hooney, I'd come and grab your tie and put my foot on your chest. Lead you around the church. That's not my style. I believe to speak what the Lord lays on the heart. God is not interested in a pointless sacrifice. And a sacrifice is pointless if we are living in disobedience to the commandments of the Lord. Romans 2:13, for merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in His sight. How many of you want to be right in the eyes of God? Come on. And one last scripture, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Again in the New Living Translation, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church. And He blesses all who listen to its message. Are you listening today? Say amen.
Amen.
If you're not listening today, say amen. He blesses all who listen to His message and obey what it says, for the time is near. Let's all bow our heads together and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are striving for perfection. Not to be perfectionists, but God, we are striving to be complete. To have every aspect of the Spirit working in our lives. But God, today we know that we are imperfect, flawed. God, today we fall short. Sometimes we get our own ideas. Sometimes we don't want to make the sacrifices that You've asked us to. Sometimes we hear what You're saying, but as the old saying, I hear what You're saying, but we don't want to do the things that we hear You telling us to do. God, we're asking for Your help today to make us more attentive, to make us more obedient. To reveal and show and remind us the purpose of why we're doing all this. So that we don't grow weary in well-doing. So that we don't faint before the reaping time comes. But that we can stay strong. That we can stay committed. That we can stay loyal and faithful. And steadfast in obeying the commandments of God until we breathe our last breath, until Your mighty reaping time comes and we see the fulfillment of great promises that You have made and commanded. Help us today to listen better, to listen closer. Help us today to learn obedience as Jesus did by the things that we have suffered, to learn obedience. To learn obedience. To learn obedience. To learn obedience. To learn the heart of sacrifice is obedience. justice and mercy should not be left undone. Hallelujah, God, we pray to you together. Can seem a little bit, what do we do now after we've studied and after we've preached and after we've